Hallelujah. So at least, you know, even if I end up with a crowd that's not feeling too well about themselves, at least they can start out that way. You know. So. But we'll try to make sure. One thing I like about God is He may, you know, He may say, hey, here's the word, you know, and I ain't changing it, but He'll give you a way to get there, and with His grace, you know, we are able to get there. It's not a total lost battle as the devil would like for us to believe at times. So, one way or the other, God will get us there. If we turn ourselves over to Him, He'll do the things necessary in our life. If we'll quit justifying, well, He'll come in with His power and begin to make changes. Oh, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to be picking up somewhat and what we left off with on Wednesday night. That way those that weren't here Wednesday night will get another shot at it. I believe it's an important message, and we'll kind of just see where it goes. But basically, we're talking about the role that worship plays and pulling down of strongholds, and there's been a lot of misconception and a lot of things in the body of Christ about pulling down strongholds, and I don't want to go into a lot of that this morning, but there is some things there that I believe that that we have just kind of been taught a little bit wrong, and we just took off on it in some cases. And but let's just read in chapter 10, let's read in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds." So the first thing you want to notice is that it is the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. In other words, you know, I know of one person that whenever she leads somebody through deliverance, if she gets a little bit aggravated, she just slaps them. Like she's going to slap the devil out. But our weapons, and while, you know, you might be enticed to do that at times, you know, our weapons are not carnal. It says, "But they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments." And I would underline, if I was going to underline anything in these two verses, I'd underline casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And I know that the intercessors, they love to get a hold of, and other prayer groups, they love to get a hold of pulling down strongholds. We're gonna be mighty in God, and we're gonna pull down the strongholds. The problem is, with that, you know, there's really nothing wrong with that, and we do want to pull down the strongholds of our city and the strongholds of our church or the strongholds of our community. If we can do so, we want to be able to do that at some point. But whenever you begin to go after something like that, it triggers assignments from Satan's war machine that if you do go after that, you got to expect retaliation. You can't just sit by and say, well, we're going to pull down the strongholds of our city. We're going to give our lives to pulling down strongholds. First of all, you got to know how to go about that and just what you're up against. And the second thing you got to know is that you're going to become a target yourself. Now, Satan can only do to you and do things to you as to what you give him that ability to do with. That is, strongholds in our own lives. That's the only way he can do any damage to me or to Chuck or anyone else is the strongholds that we have in our life, that he can go after those and begin to pull on those and yank us around or try to defeat us. In other words, if we have the stronghold that we can believe God for a lot of things, but whenever it comes to believing Him for finances, we're lacking in that area. The faith is just not there in our life at that point for pulling down or for believing in that those finances to get God's work done in our life. If we have that lack of faith in there, that stronghold in there, then that's what He's going to go after because He knows that that's your weak point. So He's going to go after that. If you have that stronghold there, then He may not be able to touch you in some other places, but because of that stronghold in your life, then He can just come and cause you turmoil and misery. Every time you need to do something for God, every time you need finances to accomplish something in the kingdom of God, you have this struggle and this fight. For some others, we talked about strongholds being, you know, maybe their lack of peace. Maybe fear, intimidation, rejection in the soulless realm. In the flesh realm, it might be that you, You tend to gravitate and live down at the red light district of Ulysses, if it has one, I don't know. But, you know, in the flesh realm, you know, maybe that's your stronghold, the lust of the flesh. Maybe in the soul area, it's intimidation or fear or rejection. All your life has become a deep-rooted stronghold. But whatever it is in your life, that's what Satan's going to go after. That's what his assignments are going to be placed against. And sometimes he don't really have to do too much because of that stronghold being such a stronghold. Because of the deep roots. And we give him a lot of credit at times, even us preachers. You know, we're guilty of giving him a lot of credit, credit that he doesn't deserve. A lot of it is just us, the strongholds in our lives. And so he can only do with you or with us what he has the ability to do with, what he has that he can grab a hold there. And so people will say, well, I'm a mighty intercessor. I'm going to go after this city. Look out. Get out of my way. We're going to pull down the strongholds of this city. And I've seen it many, many times. I don't have to be here in Ulysses to see it, folks. It's the same everywhere. It's the same in the U.S. It's the same in Peru. It's the same everywhere. I face the same things wherever I go. It's not like it's just in Ulysses. Don't ever get that idea. But it's not just in Tulsa either. You know, I've seen it in Tulsa. You know, we're going to join up with that place called the Prayer Center that spends all its time in prayer and fasting and the Word of God and getting in that place that it can pray in revival for the city of Tulsa. And they'll come from miles and hours around. And they'll get there thinking that they're a mighty intercessor, and maybe they are. Maybe they are called to be a mighty intercessor, but they didn't take care of the strongholds before they got there. They get to that place, they begin to pray, they begin to apply the principles that are taught there, the same principles that I'm applying and teaching here. They begin to get in on part of it, begin to become a part of it. But then they didn't take care of the strongholds along the way in their own life. So here comes the devil. He makes assignments against them because they entered into this place that they're going to pull down the strongholds over this city and it's going to have revival. And here he comes with his war machine, which is designed to stop any move of God that should ever get loose and happen. And so he'll make, and he doesn't have to make too strong of assignments to begin with because none of it was taken care of. And so they began to join in and to make these steps. And they began to enter into prayer. They began to enter in fasting, began to enter into meditating the Word of God, all the principles that are taught. They begin to enter in with it. And all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose in their life. I mean, first thing you know, they never had a problem with finances before. Now, all of a sudden, wham, can't pay the bill. All of a sudden, their wife, that was such a beautiful, meek and mild, sweet little thing to begin with, all of a sudden just becomes a big bumblebee. I'm being nice and mild this morning. I got a long ways to go this afternoon, so I thought I'd save my energy. But all of a sudden, things that they didn't see before, and all of a sudden, their husband that was so on fire for God and ready to go, you know, and he thought that everything was right, you know, he thought that he was doing things right, get so much under the anointing, spent all of his time staggering around, you know, under the anointing, looking real spiritual. All of a sudden, he didn't even want to go to church. Quite a change. All of a sudden, doesn't want to go to church, doesn't want to have anything to do with God. Folks, it didn't just happen that way. They made a decision to begin to pull down these strongholds without applying these verses to their own personal life. It's easy to say, oh, we're going to apply these verses to this city and to this area, and God is mighty in pulling down these strongholds. The problem is if we don't begin to pull down the strongholds in our own life and come to that place that Satan has less and less and less and less to get a hold of us, whenever that time comes and we're in the most heated part of the battle, he's unfair. He doesn't play fair. He pulls out punches, you know, that we never expected. And all of a sudden we didn't take care of these things to begin with, and here he comes with one of his assignments. Next thing you know, this marriage, it was so beautiful and so nice, so wonderful, perfectly joined together, is on the verge of divorce. Oh, it didn't just happen. You know, there was that stronghold in there, that stronghold of lust, or that stronghold of indecision and double-mindedness that was never taken care of, that was never put to death, never rooted out of their life. And, you know, and I'm a mighty intercessor. You know, I'm a little concerned because if I get to praying too much, I might get weird. No, if you get weird from praying or fasting too much, it was already in there. That stronghold of being weird and a nut and a flake was already in there. You just didn't take the time to get rid of it to begin with before you decide to enter into that call that He had placed upon you. See, He wants you to complete your call. People think, well, you know, why did God allow that? God didn't allow it. We didn't stop and take time to take care of it. We didn't stop and take time to quit parking in those cars in that red light district. And ended up with Primetime Live following us around after we got to be a ministry that affected the entire world. We didn't take time to get that stronghold out of our life. And worship can play a great part in getting rid of that stronghold. It can even play a great part in you recognizing it and finding it. You thought you were perfect. Now, nobody else around you thought you were perfect. But you decided you were perfect till you got in the presence of God. When you get in the presence of God, you got to understand things get revealed in the presence of God. What's happening when you get in the presence of God and things being revealed is He just wants to take care of that. He just wants to help you put that to death in your life. He just wants to shine that big flashlight on it. You know, on Wednesday night, He tried to stir up. Mainly all He was after Wednesday night was distracting me from delivering the message. And He tried doing some things like that. And all He's trying to do is destroy somebody's hope for finishing their ministry. That's not going to happen, not while I'm around. I know how that dirty rat works, and you need to recognize how he works. And what these messages like this, they're not directed toward people. They're directed toward recognizing his tactics, and what role worship or prayer or something else would play in this and getting this out of your life. But they're directed toward recognizing the work of the devil and what he's trying to do with your life and why things happened in the past that you didn't recognize at that time. Things were happening, you know. Some people, they want to blame everything on the devil, and then some people, they don't even want to recognize that he exists. Both are wrong. He does exist. But he can only do in your life, he's only responsible for the things that he can get a hold of in your life, and sometimes he just can set by and not do anything while those strongholds in the flesh or in the soul or strongholds in the spirit can go ahead and do the damage, keep you locked up in false doctrine. He don't have to do much. As long as you don't get anywhere where somebody will take a key in the Word of God and unlock you, why would he have to do anything? If you stayed locked up in that false doctrine that kept you in poverty or kept you in a wheelchair the rest of your life, he wouldn't have to do anything. He doesn't have to do a thing. There's others he can focus on. He doesn't have to do anything with somebody like that. They keep themselves locked up for the rest of their life until somebody comes along with a key in the Word of God that can unlock those bars and let them go free. Now that becomes a different deal. And if you're the one that says, I got the key and I'm going to use it to unlock as many people as I can, look out. Make sure that along the way you're doing the things necessary to get these strongholds out of your life. Because if you don't, you're going to come unwound like a cheap watch before you get to that point that you have any effectiveness. And like I said, I don't have to know too much about here. I don't have to be here very long or any time at all because I've already seen most of it come through the prayer center. They'll come through. And usually what happens is this coming week we're having a conference there, the Prayer and Power Conference, and they'll come to that conference and they'll get all hyped up on this conference atmosphere. I mean, everything's great. And my pastor, bless his heart, you know, he wants to bless the people and try to follow the Holy Spirit, but he'll do everything he can to make sure that people get blessed. And he can't teach everything at one time. You know, so we take this week in a big conference atmosphere, and we get all hyped up and ready to go, boy, I love that prayer. I ain't done much of it, but I've been to this conference, and I love prayer. And to be quite honest, in the past I've noticed that a lot of preachers preach a good prayer message, but when it comes to their life, I don't see too much of it. Now, I get aggravated when I see that. Because you're just teaching things that you don't know anything about. But they'll get hyped up during this conference, all hyped up, ready to go, but you still have to go back and face the devil. You know, and you'll feel good in this conference atmosphere. Man, it's great. Everybody rolled on the floor. They laughed a few times. A few of them even cried until they were silly and started laughing. You know, and God bless. A bunch got healed. There'll be a bunch of miracles this week and a bunch of healings and a bunch of people set free. Pastors will get in the prayer line to be delivered. It amazes me. I get amazed. But a lot of things will happen, and everybody will get all hyped up, and they'll think, well, this is it. This is the prayer message. This is the part of it. No, it's only a part of it. And then I have to contend with the fact that they went to one conference, got all hyped up over prayer, but really didn't do any of it. And when it comes time to do what you got hyped up over, then you have to face the strongholds in your life. And that's where it comes to the important part of knowing that those strongholds are there and that you're going to have to push them. And they were there before you went to the conference. And they're still there usually after you get back. And you have to take the steps necessary for pulling down these strongholds. You have to use the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal, but mighty in God, and begin to pull down these strongholds. I don't care how many conferences you go to. I don't care how glorious it gets. I don't care how pumped up you get. If you went to this conference or another one all week long, it doesn't matter. You still have to face what is inside you. You still have to use the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal, and begin to pull down those strongholds. Begin to take captive every thought that is in disobedience to the image of Christ. And you got to have help in doing that. And the help that you get is those weapons. It is those principles in the Word of God. That when you go into worship, you begin to worship Him, and you have this stronghold that you know about, or maybe one that you don't know about. And all of a sudden it becomes evident because you kept stumbling into worship. You stumbled in a little faster each time, but you stumbled out of soul, out of emotional worship and emotional praise, and you stumbled into the secret place of the Most High. And all of a sudden things began to get revealed in your life. You're not such the perfect person that you thought you were. I mean, I know Cindy thought she was perfect till I told her different. You ought to hear her sometime. I can give her a hard time because she gives it back plenty, believe me. But you stumble in and you stumble into this secret place of the Most High, and you know that you have this thing in your life, this intimidation that you let people intimidate you and control your life and dictate your direction in God and your direction, you know, in life. And you have that. You have that stronghold there. And you stumble into worship and you stumble into worship. And there comes that time that in the presence of God, not only is that recognized, not only is that revealed, but now He's got you in a position that He can begin to help you to pull down this stronghold. The worship is one of the weapons that are so mighty in God for pulling down this stronghold, for tearing it down, putting it to death in your life, overcoming it, that you become free of this particular stronghold. And it may take more than one time. It just depends on how deep-rooted that particular stronghold is. But you have these weapons necessary to go ahead. Yeah, you may be called as that mighty intercessor of Ulysses to pull down the strongholds over this city and cause it to be in the revival that it's already been given. You may be called to be that. But for goodness sake, take the time out necessary to begin to pull down the strongholds in your own life first. You know, people, they get into the prayer message and into the fasting and the worship and meditating the Word, all the principles that we teach here, and they think it's taking too long. Now, it took them 40 years to get what they got. And to get to the place that they are, which is not where God wants them to be, it took 40 years for some of us to get there. And we expect a pastor by himself to pull us out with a few messages. And then if he doesn't, then something's wrong. You know, I've heard person after person get back to me. You know what they're saying about you? Well, go ahead and tell me, but I really don't care. You know, because if they're talking about me, then they're leaving somebody else alone. You know, get back to me. You know, I know he trained with Pastor Dave Robertson for 13 years. I know he did, but he doesn't teach the same message. He just doesn't have the same message. Yeah, something's just not right. Folks, you think after 13 years I'd be teaching anything different? I mean, if you've had ingrained in you and ingrained in you and ingrained in you for 13 years, these messages, this direction and prayer and fasting and the Word of God over and over and over, and you slept it and you walked it and you ate it, give me a break. I tell you what happens is people begin to find a solution. They don't know that they're finding the solution to get rid of the stronghold in their life that they come up against and face that solution, and it becomes down to a decision to make. Do I want to continue on with the solution and the principles in the Word of God, or do I want to just fold up here and make excuse and stay the way I am? Yeah, I know it is. I'm not bragging. It's just that I've been there. I've had to make the same decisions. I had to get down on my knees time after time. Am I going to make this decision to go ahead and do this fasting and prayer, this fasting which I hate? Am I going to get down on my knees and make that decision to make a quality decision and do it and believe that God can make the changes in my life and finish the race that He called me to do? Or am I going to continue on and say, well, you know, he doesn't walk in love. Let me tell you about love. Love is not this sloppy. I can't really tell you about love without telling you about grace, because they work hand in hand. Grace is that God has delivered everything to you. You didn't earn it. You didn't do anything to earn it. It's a free gift that He gave to you, that through His grace, that whenever you fall or whenever you make a mistake or the enemy has got you down, through the grace of God, you can get back up and go again. He'll brush you off, wash you off, make you like new. You're white as snow and you can go again. Now, grace in this sloppy agape, as I call it, junk love, which is not really the agape of love, agape love, is this. Is that, well, it's by His grace, so it doesn't matter what I do. I can just keep right on doing what I'm doing, and it'll all work out all right. And He'll love me anyhow. Yeah, He'll love you, but He can't reward you. If you just want to make it to heaven by the skin of your teeth and make it to heaven and say, glory to God, I'm saved, if that's all that you want, that's okay. But it's not okay with me. See, I want everything that He's got. I want everything laid up to my account. I don't want any excuses. I've had plenty of chances for excuses in my life in the past. Everybody can find an excuse. The devil is waiting by your side to say, here is another excuse. Or here is one you used yesterday. Why don't you use it again? But it comes that time that you meet those things in your life, those strongholds, and then the Holy Spirit is there with the solution, offering it, not pushing it, but offering it, saying, here's the solution, here's the answer, here's the way out, you know, and then He stands back to see what you're going to do with it. And you have to make a decision at that point to go on the way religion has taught you in your past years gone by, or make a decision that you're going to walk out of those things and become something that God can actually use. Tough message, huh? For a Sunday morning crowd. Had another good outline. I'll use it next time. We have to make a decision at some point. You can say, well, He doesn't love me. Let me tell you about the person that loves you. The person that loves you will sit by your side and will stay with you no matter how bad you are. With a solution there to help get you out, willing to take that solution and that principle and the Word of God and walk with you through hell to get you out. And when you aren't able to stand by yourself, they'll be there by your side, rebuking death, rebuking heart disease, arthritis, cancer, sugar diabetes, anything that attacks your body or attacks your family. False doctrine. They'll stand by your side and say, here's the solution. You don't have to be in poverty any longer. He took your poverty that you might become rich. They won't just stand by your side and say, that's okay. You can stay the way you are. You can die early, go to heaven early, and not finish your race. It's okay. It's not okay. It never was okay. But he'll do everything he can to convince you that it's okay. The devil will. And he'll use the strongholds, the strong holds in your life to convince you that you either are okay or you have to stay right where you're at. You can't move out of it. Don't you think you're afraid to preach like this? You know, offerings might go down. Yeah, they might go up. It depends on what your stronghold is. If you got a big wad of money you're holding back from the kingdom of God, you might get in the presence of God through worship with that stronghold. All of a sudden, a flashlight shine on it, and you recognize that God isn't too satisfied with it, and all of a sudden, you give up that stronghold. Then it was a good thing I preached this message on Sunday morning. Just go ahead and have a good time. It's all right. You can have a good time because you have a choice when you walk out of here. You can take this message and listen to it and begin to apply it, or you can let it go and stay the same way that you are. And you'll find somebody in Ulysses of the surrounding area that will agree with you. The devil will make sure that there'll be somebody there to take your hand and say, it's okay. You can stay just the way you are. He'll make sure of it. Or you can recognize his tactics, that he's trying to use a stronghold in your life that you haven't been willing to change in the past. And now you're going to make the necessary steps to make that change. For he says this, for the weapons of our warfare. Now, he talks about that there will be strongholds and that there will be these arguments and high things that try to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. He talks about that there will be these things. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. Now, they can't be mighty in God unless you're in God. If we're in God, then they can be mighty in God. But if you're not in God, How can you use these weapons that are not carnal if you're not in God? If you're not walking into God and taking the necessary steps, how can you even use these weapons that are meant to pull down these strongholds? See, I want to become a mighty intercessor for Ulysses, and I want to pull down these strongholds, and I've got the weapons necessary. Well, what you need to do is take the time out to begin to apply the principles of prayer and fasting and worship and go into God, that you can have these weapons that are not carnal but are mighty in God, and you can use these weapons to begin to pull down the strongholds in your life, that whenever comes in the heated part of the battle, he can't come along and grab one of your strongholds and stop you from pulling down the strongholds in the city. Now, you know, we've had all kinds in Tulsa. That's why I can speak this way. We've had all kinds. We had some that would get up in an airplane and go up to about, I don't know, 5,000 or 6,000, 7,000 feet and pull down strongholds over Tulsa. That's how nutty and fruity that town gets. Now, I said it took the principles and the Word of God and began to pull down these strongholds in their own life, like this goofiness and this false doctrine and this spirit of deception. If they had began to take the things in the Word of God and began to pull those strongholds down in their own life, they wouldn't have ended up there in that airplane making a fool of themselves. See? But he'll do with what he has the capacity in us to do with. So that capacity of deception was in them, so he could take them up there. You know, everybody all over town knows about it. Going to get high up, you know, in the spiritual realm. Well, it says this. It says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God. So that rules that out because that's a carnal application. I'm going up in an airplane high as I can get to pull down the strongholds over this city. It says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. So you got to begin to go into God to be able to use those weapons because you won't find those weapons anywhere else except in Him. So that's what worship is about. You go in there and begin to say, God is a spirit. We must worship Him now as the day has come that we worship Him in spirit and truth. God is a spirit. So you have to go into that secret place of the Most High, regardless how long it takes you. Continually go in there that you can have that weapon. Well, worship is one of the weapons. And that applies to the next verse. It says this. It says, casting down arguments. Well, you're not going to be able to cast down arguments that are coming against this mind of yours unless you have something in that weapon in Him and spend more time and more time in Him. But you have to start somewhere to begin with. It ain't going to get it going to church once a week, Sunday morning. You won't get very far that way. See, this takes applying. This is a way of life. This takes applying the things in the Word of God on a day-to-day basis that you can eventually become that strong person that when that argument against the Word of God comes, you don't even have to listen to it one second. You recognize right away it's nothing in the Word of God and you can turn away from it immediately. But sometimes, for some of us, it takes a while to get to that point. Folks, I've been there. I know what you face. I know what everybody faces. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, taking this presence that you've entered into, this place in Him, this place in God that now you have where you can tap into this weaponry that is in God, that you can find this place in Him, that you can tap into it, and then take that weapon that is offered in worship and take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You're going to fail. You lost all your money, you're going to fail. You're going to starve to death. My God shall supply all of my needs. I mean, I've been in that place when I first began to enter that place. Man, it took a while. You talk about transformation according to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, which we're going to go to. You talk about transformation. I mean, you get into that place and you know, you memorized even that verse. My God shall supply all of my needs. You get into that place, you know. You begin to go into Him and the devil's a yammering. You're going to lose everything. You owe $93,000. You think that you can climb out of this? Yammering. You'll never make it. You'll never be back on your feet. You're not going to be able to pay your bills. I mean, yammering and coming in so close and taking the mind captive instead of you taking the thought captive to the obedience of Christ. He's taking your mind captive. You'll never get out of this. Then you try to, what scripture was that I memorized? I don't even remember the Word of God. See? And He can do it. And some of you have experienced it. Come in there so strong that you can't even think of the Word of God. That's where worship comes in, that you can bathe yourself and begin to come into that place and stay in that place of worship with Him. That as that transformation, as you get stronger in that place, now all of a sudden, little bit by little bit, you're getting stronger. Now you can take the Word of God. You're going to fail. My God shall supply all of my needs. He took on my poverty that I might have the riches of heaven. I'll suffer no lack because I seek God. And them that seek God, they suffer no lack. Now see, because you entered that place with Him, that you have at your disposal this weaponry and you're able to apply it. You're able to take captive these thoughts that are exalting themselves above the Word of God. You're able to take these thoughts captive. No longer can they rule and reign or lead you down that path or dictate to you how your day is going to be. No. Now, because you entered that place and spent that time in worship, you're stronger now. You can take those thoughts captive and you can worship God somewhere. I'm not going to receive that. My God shall supply all of my needs. And those that seek His face suffer no lack. Oh, I worship you, Father. I'm one of those. In fact, Father, that's what I'm doing right now, is seeking you. I'm in this secret place of the Most High. My goodness, I guess if that verse applies to anybody, it applies to me right now, because I'm worshiping you and seeking you. Therefore, I'll suffer no lack. Therefore, these arguments and these vain imaginations that try to come against me, now I can take every thought captive. Why? Because I entered into a place that I'm growing in strength in Him, and He can bring to my remembrance, the Holy Spirit can, the remembrance of the Word of God that will set me free and keep me out of the clutches of the enemy. Why? Because making it look good, but I'm entering into that place, because no longer can these thoughts take my mind captive and destroy me. No, I make a decision. I'm going to start using these things in the Word of God to keep me free. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And then in Romans chapter 12, says verse 2 of chapter 12, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Goes on and says, and we've read it before, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You're not going to find the will of God without being in that place with Him. What does Ephesians 5 say? It says, to not be drunk with wine, but to be filled with the Spirit, that you may know the perfect will of God. You're not going to find the perfect will of God, and you're not going to stay, once you find it, you're not going to stay in the perfect will of God unless you can find that place in Him, that you're dwelling in Him. Not only do you have at your disposal this weaponry, but if you're going to find the perfect will of God and begin to walk in it, which is going to keep you, for the most part, staying in the will of God is what keeps you from the enemy. He says, to prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, there has to be some transformation taking place. Well, that's what worship. We worship Him over His Word. He exalted His Word. He exalted the Word of God above His name. That's how important the Word of God is. Folks, think about this. He exalted the Word of God above the name of Jesus. I didn't write it. He wrote it. He exalted the Word above His name. What do you think is going to transform you? Getting in the presence of God, worshiping Him over His Word. Oh, I give you glory and honor. I thank you and praise you, Father, that my God, you're my God, Father, and you'll supply all of my needs. You're worshiping over Him over His Word. You think that He's going to let you down? You think that He's going to go back on His Word? He's sold out to His Word. He can't go back on His Word. He's not a man that He should lie. He cannot go back on His Word. And so then you take that place in the secret place of the Most High, enter into that place of worship and begin to use His Word. Who is changing? God? No. You're changing. You're changing to the image of Christ, which is the Word of God. Oh, I worship you and I thank you, Father, that you're a God that will supply all of my needs. That I'll suffer no lack because I seek my God. I seek His face. Oh, by His stripes, by your stripes I'm healed. Father, you provided everything. I don't have to be in disease. I don't have to be in poverty. I don't have to be in confusion. I don't have to be in intimidation any longer. I can be in peace because you took that place. So then you decide to make a decision and go to a church that teaches things like that. And then you wonder why all hell breaks loose at home. Because you're this far from walking out into victory. Because you found the solution. You found the answer. You think the devil's going to leave you alone? He's not dead. And he's not dumb. And you become a prime target. So are you going to leave me hanging with that? No, I'm telling you this. If you become a prime target, but you have all at your disposal, even in just the area of worship, you have all at your disposal to begin to walk out of those strongholds in your life that the devil can have any effect over your life. And all of a sudden, through the Word of God, transformation with the Word of God, through the power of worship and being in His presence, in the Spirit with God. God is a Spirit, worshiping Him in Spirit and truth, entering into that place with Him, that now not only do you have that at your disposal, but now you've entered into a place that actually says to the Holy Spirit, you can now finally begin to change me. Until then, you were just there on the outside looking in. I know you're there. I see you. But I'm not entering in. So therefore, I can't change you. He can't change you unless you give Him permission to change you. Anything that you'll justify, He can't change. Anything that I justify, He can't change in my life. But the moment that I quit justifying that particular thing, then at that moment, He can begin to start the change necessary. So you can spend the rest of your life and make excuses and blame others. You can point the finger. It says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit with your bickering, with your division, with divisions, with strife, envy, jealousy. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. That's how you grieve Him. I'm a mighty intercessor. I want to go in pulling down those strongholds. Oh, Pastor, I just want you to know right now I'm going to stand with you because I'm a mighty intercessor called by God to stand with you. You go out the door, you get in your car, you go home, you pick up the telephone. I tell you what, if He says one more thing about fasting, if He says one more thing about prayer, and by the way, you know, so-and-so, she sits across from me. I just, I don't know about her. You think there's something wrong with her? Well, I do. Aren't you going to agree with me over the telephone? Of course, then on the other end, another solid believer from Faith Fellowship Church. No, I'm not going to agree with you. And by the way, as long as you have this type of conversation, you won't be calling me. You know, but you decided you're going to become a mighty intercessor, but yet you go and talk about people over the phone, cause envy and strife, and that's contrary to the Word of God. You can't stand in the gap. Being an intercessor means offering your life, standing in the gap for one that is trying their best to get to hell, and you're standing there trying to stop them. How are you going to stop them when that stronghold has you whipped? And God ain't even listening. Because you grieved the Holy Spirit. Well, stand to your feet today, glory to God. You say, well, this is sure different than any church I've been around. Praise God forevermore. I hope so. I hope it stays different than any church you've ever been around. Glory be to God forever. It's not all bad, you know. I know you think, well, man, He just left me down. No, you didn't get the message if I left you down. I left you with a message of going in and worship that you can destroy those strongholds in your own life before the devil does a number on you. And that He offered this weaponry, things like worship. Man, what's wrong with worship? What's wrong with spending an hour each morning before you go to work in worship? What's wrong with spending an hour before you go to bed at night, before you get ready to go to work the next day, spending an hour and praying in other tongues, praying down those mysteries, praying down the Word of God, praying down God's plan upon your own personal life? What's wrong with that? And it doesn't do any good to give me excuses, because I've done most of those excuses myself. So I recognize them for what they are, as excuses. You can't say, well, I got a long day tomorrow. I work a job tomorrow. You're a pastor. I prayed for 4 and 5 and 6 hours at night and would still go out the next morning and do anywhere from an 8 to a 12-hour day and work. So I know about that. So you're not going to tell me something that I don't know about. You decide to do what you want to do, and that decision you make, you don't blame anybody else on that. You take that decision, and that's your decision. You know, I'll help anybody I can help. Anybody that wants to be helped, I can help them. When they don't want to be helped and they want to just go off and do their own thing, and every time somebody new comes to town, they think it's a great thing, and then all of a sudden they come up against that ceiling, that stronghold in their life that they can't go any farther because they come up against the same thing. They have to make the decision at some point that they're tired of coming up against that stronghold. That's what it comes down to. You make a decision. I'm tired of coming to this place. I'm tired of blaming every other evangelist, every other pastor that this church has had. I'm tired. I have to make the decision that it falls upon my shoulders to make a change. Well, I thought that God was just going to dump change upon me. No. No, He's believing with all that's in Him that you're going to make the decision to stop long enough to make the change, that He can use you as that mighty intercessor. And so that's what in 2 weeks, a week from this coming Saturday, 8:30 to 12:30, is all about, is offering yourself for prayer, that you might offer yourself unto God for Him to pull down those strongholds in your life, that you can then offer yourself as a vessel for Him to pray through and get a whole city born again. That's what it's all about. That's what Tuesdays and Thursdays are about here. Some of them didn't like it because we changed the format, I think, and didn't like it because we spent time in worship. But my instructions from the Holy Ghost were this. He said, I want you going into more worship than ever before, and along the way, I want you to begin to take people deeper into worship than you've ever done before. And actually, it's quite a challenge for me because this has been a new arena for me. And I didn't expect that when I came here. I didn't hear those instructions till I got here. So that's what we've been doing. We spend time in worship, and then we speak out the Word of God into this earth, and then we spend time praying the Holy Ghost Tuesdays and Thursdays. Why? Because we want those strongholds pulled down in our life that we can become a vessel for Him to change a city, to change a family, to change ourselves first. You want to be a mighty intercessor? Let Him change you first. Then you can look at the whole city or the whole nation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.